understand the man. What more could you ask for? We talking building businesses and entrepreneurs. Next level, elevating, steady working it. Featuring guests, sharing their products and services. But stand the man podcast. Let's get down to business, make it happen like that. But stand the man podcast. Let's get down to business, make it happen like that. Stand the man, let's go.
Yo, yo, Stan the Entertainer here, y'all checking out the man with the plan. It's Stan, the man. Congratulations, man, on 2 years of doing your Stan the Man podcast. Big up, man, salute. Keep grinding, keep hustling, showing them how it's done. Stan, the 50 grand man. Let's go, baby. All right, Stan the Man podcast. Head day, y'all. Holler.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stan the Man, and thank you so much for being with me on the podcast today, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And we're very excited to have a return appearance, or I should say audio appearance, if you will, with one of our real estate experts. And the last time she was here was a little over a year ago, and the market was hot. People were buying and selling like hotcakes. And now the market has cooled down a little bit. And without further ado, we'd like to welcome Gabby Villa Hernandez.
Hello.
How you doing, lady?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you doing?
No problem. I'm just glad that we can get you back and do an update. And wow, so many things have happened since the last time we spoke. But for the most part, you know, we live here in California, and things are always going to be changing at different times. And I'm glad. I must say that the real estate market is not like the stock market. So
that's also, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. And also, let's see, there's a new addition to the family. If my memory serves me correct, she's going to be 4 months old on the 10th. And it's Maria Sophia. And how's things working out with the new girl in the house?
It's going well. You know, she's actually awesome. I've taken her on to some showings and everything. She does well. So I think she's a real estate agent in the making.
Hey, well, I think that's phenomenal, because God knows she has the perfect mentor in you with all your expertise, not only in real estate, but of course, you understand the business world and how everything works. And of course, you're, you know, you have that, what I would consider a great personality to be able to do it. All right. Thanks. So let's see. No problem. The first thing I wanted to ask you is, how would you describe the real estate market now as opposed to it was the last time we spoke?
You know, it's definitely changed. Houses are sitting on the market a lot longer than they were before. You know, before you, as soon as you put it up, you already have 10 offers. Now, you know, houses are sitting a little bit longer. So it's definitely cooled down a lot, like you were mentioning. And it has a lot to do with the interest rates. You know, interest rates were in the 2% a year ago. Now the lowest, you know, they dipped down this week. So the FHA is, from what I've seen, is about 5.625, okay. The lowest that I've seen it. But you know what, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was in the 7%.
Right.
So it's a roller coaster right now is how I would describe it. One day the interest rates are good, so, you know, everybody can qualify for a little bit more. The next day they shot up again. So, you know, the qualification goes down a little bit.
Okay.
So it's very hard to, you know, get an exact amount of what you're going to be able to buy, because one day it's higher, the next day it's a little bit lower. So you kind of have to, like, you know, as soon as you get a good amount, jump on something, try to open escrow. And right now it's definitely more of a buyer's market. So, you know, you're able to get the houses lower than before. You're
right.
Able to negotiate seller concessions for closing costs, or even like interest rate buy downs too, which is what some lenders are offering right now. So it's definitely a lot more negotiating in terms of what the buyer wants, as opposed to before, where it was the seller, you know, wanted $50,000 more, or there's 10 offers. Who's going to bring in the highest offer and pay appraisal gap cash and, you know, right. All that good stuff.
Well, that's interesting, because we know that, you know, it's kind of amazing to me, and I'm sure not to you, but for some of our listeners, and that is that there's a lot of cash deals going over a year ago. A lot of folks were just paying cash. It was kind of crazy.
No, it definitely was. And, you know, I saw it more so because I work both the San Fernando Valley and the Antelope Valley.
Okay.
So I was seeing a lot of people sell their homes that they've owned in the San Fernando Valley for 20, 30 plus years. You know, a lot of them owned them cash, or some had owed very minimal on there. So they were getting $800,000, $900,000 for their homes. And they had the ability to come up to Palmdale, Lancaster areas, buy a huge house for $400,000 to $500,000 cash and still have some money left over.
Right.
Now,
go ahead.
It's not, yeah, now it's a little bit harder because you don't have, you know, a lot of people offering over offering or overbidding on homes like before.
Right. So it's it sounds like it's a little more negotiating, I would imagine, going on now than last year.
Oh, before it was like you had to give your best at the first chance. You know, there was some people, well, some sellers would counter offer. So, you know, say you would go in at a certain price and offer certain things. And they were like, hey, you know, we have 20 more offers. This is our highest. Do you want to match it or do you want to beat it? Now it's like, you know, you can try to go in lower. You can try to, you know, leave room for negotiation, which is what I tell my buyers. I'm like, hey, you know, let's try to go in a little bit lower. Let's try to ask for more concessions than needed, because, you know, at the end of the day, we are probably going to get a counter offer. So that way we end up getting what we want.
Okay. Do you have some of the sellers now still trying to offer their homes up thinking like it was a year ago?
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, I'm dealing with that now. And it's like, you know, I have to, I show, the thing with me is that I show everybody the market. I'm like, look, what do you want? Do you want your house to sell quickly? If you want to do that, then we do have to price it a little bit lower in order to, you know, get it moving fast. If you don't mind it sitting, you know, sitting on the market for a couple of months, then we can price it at what you want. And then, you know, if we have to reduce the price, then we'll do that in 30 or 60 days. But let's try to get what you want and let's see if, you know, it's worth a shot.
All right.
But it's definitely harder. You know, I'll show them. I'm like, houses have been sitting for 60 plus days at this price range. So let's just keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Because my next question was going to be would you say now that homes are on the market for what, 60, you said 90 days? And I would imagine some may even go a little longer.
Yeah, you know, it really depends on the price range. You know, obviously the lower priced homes are sitting for 30 days is what I've seen. The higher priced homes, more luxury homes, they are sitting for like 60 to 90 days before they get any traction, before, you know, but the thing with some of them is that they go pending and then, you know, appraisal doesn't come back at the price anymore because they're trying to price the homes from earlier with pricing from earlier this year. So they're going higher.
Okay.
And then the appraiser comes in and they're like, we're not in that market anymore. And they knock it down 40,000. And then the seller doesn't want to sell anymore because, you know, they need a certain amount or
right,
they want
yeah.
more. So there's just a lot of back and forth going on also.
That's really interesting because just recently, and you probably already know this, I'm sure, that an expert said the median price of a home in California now it's over $1 million.
Yes. I actually did read that report and I was like, how is this going on? But it is, it's going on. And, you know, and everybody says that there's a recession coming and it's ongoing, but there's a lot of people still buying the higher priced homes, you know, still buying $1 million homes. And, you know, in the Santa Clarita and San Fernando Valley area, that's what you see. You see homes at 700,000 plus. And that $700,000, you know, is going to get you a single family home, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,300 square feet, you know, nothing too luxurious.
Right. You know, I just wanted to share with my listeners, and that is that even though that the median price is that, one of the things we have here in California, of course, along with the great weather, is that, I mean, in San Francisco, where I'm originally from, the homes, a lot of them are over $1 million. And of course, here in Southern California, we have, there's Malibu and Beverly Hills and Palos Verdes, but we do have, and you know this, we do have a lot of homes that don't cost that much. So anyone looking to come into California, that don't be afraid.
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know, you can come to, there's the Palmdale area, Lancaster areas where there's newer built homes, you know, and that you can get them for like 400, 500,000. So they're definitely a lot more affordable. They're a short drive from Los Angeles. So, you know, you can still commute if necessary. And now the interest, the loan limits actually went up, so you can get a higher priced home over $1 million with an FHA loan also.
No, that's very good. Actually, I have a friend that lives in Lancaster with his wife, and he commutes into Los Angeles, and it works out well, and he loves it. I was going to also ask you about the, as far as the appraisals, I would imagine now with the way the appraisals are going, I'm thinking the sellers may not be as happy now as they were before.
Definitely. And you know, there's a lot more repairs being called out also because before the appraisers were just kind of coming in and like they had so many inspections to go to that it was I'm not saying that they didn't, check it properly, but it was just more of a visual. Now I've seen it personally on some of my escrows where there's a lot more repairs being called out. So,
No.
it's the
Okay. But,
sellers now have to pay for those repairs as well.
right. Well, that only makes sense. I mean, because it, and I think that, as you mentioned earlier, it is a buyer's market. And this, to me, that's my favorite part of the market. I think that's where most of us are grouped into, and it gives us hope. I also was going to ask for you in just your day-to-day business activity, is there any specific challenges that you're facing that you may not have mentioned yet?
Day to day, I think it's just more buyers are scared of the interest rates, and
Okay.
especially more first time home buyers, they see this big payment, so it's scary. But one of the good things that I'm able to offer to them is that some of the lenders that I partner with, they're offering it's called a 2-1 rate buy down or a 3-2-1 rate buy down also.
Okay.
So the this it usually costs between 2 to 3% of the home price, and we ask for the seller to pay for this. So say it's like, it's a $500,000 house, we'll ask for $12,000 in seller credits, and it actually buys down the interest rate. So the 2-1, it buys it down 2% for 2 years. So say you have a 6% interest rate, year one you have a 4% interest rate, year two you have a 5%, and then year three then it goes up to 6%. But you also have the option to refi within those 2 years in order to keep a lower interest rate, because the experts are saying that interest rates are supposed to dip down again, towards the middle of next year.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think it's fair to say that for our listeners that are looking to purchase a home, and that is that even whatever you buy it at, and especially with these rates are still reasonably low, that they can always refinance down the road, right?
Exactly. And that's what I always remind everyone. I'm like, hey, you always have the option to refinance. And some of the lenders that I work with, they're actually offering the free it's going to be a free refi as long as you go with, if you do the rate buy down with them, if you refi with them again, they won't charge for those closing costs. So it's great. It's just, they're trying to help out buyers as much as possible, which I love. There's a lot of also first time home buyer programs, so that if you pair them together, then it definitely helps out a lot.
Well, that's a very good thing because I think, and just for our first-time home buyers or those that may not know of, how this works, I would just encourage everyone to, Gabby's a great real estate agent, and do some of your homework. Don't believe, again, this is for my listeners. Don't believe and go on everything that you hear and see in the news. I would recommend that you do some of your own research and. You will see that it's not really all gloom and doom. The world is not coming to an end, at least yet. So, definitely do your due diligence, and I'm pretty sure you'll still be able to get a pretty good deal out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's all it is. It's kind of like a shopping around. That's what I tell my buyers too. I'm like, hey, you're not forced to stick to one lender. So if you don't like the quote, let's shop around and let's see what we can do for you. Or let's talk to the lenders, because a lot of the lenders are also they want to help out as much
Right.
as possible. So they're able to help out with credits also, or they're able to help with the price negotiation. There's a lot of people that are willing to help, that are doing it more like I am. I'm one of the agents. I do it to try to help my clients as much as possible. I'm not one of
Yeah.
the ones that's trying to get paid out. I want to
Right.
try to help as much as possible. If I have to help you pack on moving day, we're going to pack on moving day. Do not worry. I'm going to be there to try to help as much as possible.
Well, that's one of the things among many that I really like about you. You do have a very good hand and in helping your clients, and it goes beyond just getting a deal done. It's like a friendship is kindled there. And then the great thing about that is, if, as they have kids or family and friends, if they want them to be able to use your services. They don't have to shop around, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the majority of my clients are referral based, because I do my best to try to help everybody out as much as possible, because I was in those position one day. You know, being a first time home buyer is scary. My agent and, you know, our lenders weren't very helpful. Okay. And that's actually what made me want to, you know, try to do it, because I was like, I want to help people out. This is scary. And it's more, I'm more of a teaching agent. You know, I'm going to try to teach you that way you understand. And the next time we do this, it's going to be an amazing experience. First time is always a little more nerve wracking. Second time is awesome.
great. Good thing there to continue to give the education to them and follow up, because they know that they can trust you with the giving them the actual truth, because you look out for them almost, I would say, pretty much like their family, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. And I consider everybody a friend and family. I stay in contact with a lot of my clients now. You know, I send them Christmas cards just because, you know, and I like to get Christmas cards too. I'm like, hey, how's the family? You have a new baby? What's going on?
Great. Very good. I think we sort of talked about this last time, but since we have new listeners coming in, and that is that I wanted to have you share with my audience how it is that you got started in real estate.
Well, I actually started when I was young. I was probably 18, 19, I think. I started as a project manager for, she's a broker, but she flips homes. So, you know, I would go in, I would take a look at the house, analyze it. And that's what really attracted me. Nowadays, that's what my husband and I are actually doing. We're doing flipping. So, you know, we're trying to buy the distressed homes and make them beautiful and sell them. And, you know, I went from there. I also have some experience as a executive assistant for a mortgage broker. So I learned a lot of lending side also, which was not for me. You know, I give props to all lenders out there. Lending is not my forte. I can definitely do the sales side of it, but just the, you know, all the number crunching and all that gives me a headache. But, and then after that, that's when I decided to get my license, and, you know, it's the best thing I've ever done.
All right. Fantastic. That's very good. You know, I was going to ask you I've heard recently of the term astro flipping. Are you familiar with that?
I have not actually.
No, that's no problem. And also I was going to, just for any of the homeowners that are looking to become investors, of course, you know, I was looking recently, there's a lot of places out there, and many of them are not in California, where it's, you know, I have a friend that lives in Mississippi. And I mean, the prices there are just like mind boggling. You could probably buy a neighborhood.
Yes, I know. That's what we're starting to do, some out of state rentals also, because you can go to South Carolina, North Carolina, and you can buy a beautiful home for $20,000-$30,000.
Yeah,
you buy it cash, and that's money, that's cash flow that's coming in monthly.
That is really good. You also, I see a thing that some folks are doing, and that is the Airbnb market. I'm showing that some folks are actually entering into that space, which is really, to me, it's just kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, the Airbnb, I'm not there yet. That's definitely, you know, I'm working my way up there, but it's for me, it's a little bit more scary, because I'm like, what if you don't rent it out? But the days that you do rent it out, you know, you make enough to pay for your month mortgage, or make enough to pay for your 2 month mortgage. It's all about location also. Like, you have to make sure that you find it in a perfect location where people want to go. And you know, where there's a lot of tourists, then you'll get a good return on your investment for that one.
That's really good, because I know some folks are doing it. Southern California, Nevada, and Arizona are some of the places, because, you know, they have what they call the snowbirds, the people in the wintertime, then they tend to come out here and stay, which is interesting. The other thing I was going to, no problem. The other thing I was going to ask you is, we did this before, but we'll do it one more time for the sake of our new listeners. And that is, what advice would you give to people that are entrepreneurs and looking to start their own business? And, you know, there's so many different ones out there. What general advice would you give them as they consider doing their own business?
Honestly, the biggest advice that I can give is A, having your, you know, having savings before you start, because entrepreneurship is hard. I've learned that, you know, some days, some months you're cash flowing, some months you're not. So you have to make sure that you have your savings so that you're not stressing on the months that you're not cash flowing. And then just don't give up, you know, give it your all. Even right now, you know, the real estate market is hard for me. Some, you know, I, I'm I am having to work harder than I was a year ago, but that's okay because as long as you keep the mentality of it's all going to be okay, then it's going to be okay because you're not going to psych yourself out. So just, you know, have your savings, work hard, and just stay confident. Stay confident, stay faithful. I'm a very faithful person. So, you know, I'm always praying. And after I pray, I feel amazing. I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, we all go through tough times, but it's going to be okay.
You know, I think that's great advice because two of the big keys to success is one is just, you know, never give up, I should say, and really just keep going at it. And I remember one thing I heard Oprah say once, and that was that, you know, when you start out, you know, don't worry about the money, but, you know, once you become an expert, you know, the money will follow whatever you're passionate about. And again, just don't give up and you'll be right there.
Exactly. Just manifest it all and stick to a schedule. Also, I have my schedule. I have my daily schedule. I obviously, you know, I have 4 kids. So some days it doesn't go as planned, but I try to stick to my schedule as much as possible. And then I always do my non-negotiables, you know, which are I get up early, no matter what. I always pray and I always give myself a few minutes of, you know, mental sanity. You know, I'll sit there and I'll just try to meditate or I'll read or I exercise something to get myself going for the day because those are my non-negotiables. If I don't do that, then my day goes pretty crappy.
Oh, well, that's definitely a good thing. Prayer is definitely a thing that works. I'm a witness to that one. Also, just going to share with my listeners, and that is that I'll never forget some great advice a guy gave me some long time ago. This is before the degrees and graduate school and all that. And he said, it's really simple. And again, this is for my listeners. And he said, spend less than you make and invest the difference.
Amen on that.
Real simple. And, you know, and the good thing is if one does that, then when the lean time comes, you don't have to panic. You can still kind of, you know, manage. And, you know, when things are rolling, the money's coming in, then, you know, you don't try not to live like a king or a queen and just still kind of keep your everything balanced.
Exactly. Act broke no matter what.
Hey, exactly. I think that's how Warren Buffett keeps a lot of his money. He still drives the old car. His car is like really an older model. He doesn't buy new cars at all, which is really, really phenomenal. All right, so it looks like our time is just about up here, and I just wanted to see before I let you go if you had any final words for my listeners, whether it be anything in life or in the real estate market or anything you would like to share.
You know, real estate-wise, just don't get discouraged. You know, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer. Is it okay if I give people my social media handle?
Go ahead and feel free. Go ahead and give your contact information in case someone wants to contact you to buy a house, sell a house, or your expertise.
Yes, I'm always available, even if it's just to answer questions. My phone number is 818-364-0684. My email is Gabby, G-A-B-Y, at realprogabby.com. And my Instagram handle is realprogabby. So, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm available anytime. And I know this market is scaring people. The recession is scaring people. Just stay focused, stay faithful. Everything's going to work out.
Well, definitely, Gabby. I do appreciate that. I also want to share with my listeners. I was a few weeks ago, I was with a financial banker who was in LA, and we were talking about finances, and he was not afraid at all. And the thing is, I think we just have to be careful. And again, this is for my listeners that you know, just don't become, you don't really have anything to fear, but fear itself, do your homework. And, you know, things are not as bad as one might think. I worked in the news business for a while and it's not as bad as one may think. You do your homework and like, even here in California, the gas prices are coming down, which is good.
Yes. I just saw that too. I was like, yes, score.
So, we do appreciate it. Want to, again, thank you so much. Wish you and your entire family the absolute best. And, we'll look forward to catching up again sometime in 2023 when I launch out and I go video.
Awesome. Sounds great, Stan. I will talk to you soon. And thank you so much for having me on.
Hello, I'm Bernadette Stanis, Thelma from Good Times. Also, Nene Duncan on The Family Business. Hello there, Stan. I want to congratulate you on your 2-year podcast anniversary. And I wish you many, many more as Stan the Man. I know that you are helping so many businesses become successful. That's a wonderful thing that you're doing. I just want to thank you. It means so much to me to have a fan like you that has followed me for so many years as Thelma of Good Times with my brother JJ, Michael, Alona, Mom and Dad, and Bookman. You know, we had a lot of fun on that show. And now I'm on the family business. I'm one of the Duncans, and we're having a lot of fun too, in a different kind of way. You know, I have 3 children there. I have Curtis, and Lauren is my daughter, and Kenny is my baby son, and of course, my crazy husband, Larry. Join us. We come on every Thursday with a new show. So you enjoy your anniversary. Keep watching me on different shows, especially the family business. And I want to thank you.
Stan the Man podcast with business and entrepreneurs.